There are two new dramas that have been developed looking at the same subject. The 2019 BBC interview between Emily Maitlis and Prince Andrew. One is coming out on Amazon Prime, and Emily Maitlis herself is involved. The first treatment, though, is out now on Netflix. It's called Scoop. The woman behind this one has already written a book, but her name was not as well known until now. Sam McAllister was a booker for the BBC programme Newsnight. Before that, she had been a criminal barrister and the first person in her family to go to uni. She's a single mum as well. A booker is the person behind the scenes who finds and persuades guests to appear on shows. Certainly no one thought Prince Andrew would ever subject himself to being interrogated about his relationship with the infamous Jeffrey Epstein. But after Epstein was found dead in his jail cell, the Prince again had the media spotlight shone on him. Prince Andrew had gone to stay with Epstein in New York even after Epstein's conviction for sex offences. Sam McAllister sensed the timing might be propitious, that Andrew might be persuaded to appear on television, and she was right. We're about to talk to her about her movie Scoop, but before we do, here's a reminder of that real-life interview.
One of Epstein's accusers, Virginia Roberts, yep, has made allegations against you. She was very specific about that night. Mm-hmm. She described dancing with you,
no,
and you profusely sweating, and that she went on to have possibly.
There's a slight problem with the sweating, because I have a peculiar medical condition, which is that I don't sweat, or I didn't sweat at the time.
So then there was the question of where Andrew was on that night then.
I was at home. I was with the children. I'd taken Beatrice to a Pizza Express in Woking for a party at a, I suppose, sort of 4 or 5 in the afternoon.
Why would you remember that so specifically? Why would you remember a Pizza Express birthday and being at home?
Because going to Pizza Express in Woking is an unusual thing for me to do.
The interview was received disastrously for the Prince, as we know. All this is chronicled in this new drama, Scoop, and Sam McAllister joins us. She also wrote the book Scoops, plural, about this and other important interviews she managed to procure. In the movie, she's played by Billy Piper. Gillian Anderson plays Emily Maitlis and Rufus Sewell, Prince Andrew. Good morning, Sam. Very good to talk to you.
And to you.
Scoop has met with quite the reaction, the biggest TV show in the UK. Actually, how's it doing in the royalty-mad United States?
Well, the last time I looked, so I may be corrected by someone from Netflix, it was number 3 for the US for films on Netflix and number 2 in the world, which is just mind-blowing. So thank you to everyone who's watching.
Yeah, they are big numbers. It's very much a woman's story. I mean, women, principally, but not only you, steer the whole story along. And also in reality that happened.
Well, absolutely. I think that's one of the reasons it's really resonated because, you know, obviously 3 powerful women and a powerful woman at Buckingham Palace behind the scenes at the BBC, just working hard on, you know, really important journalism. And of course, so many people, you know, can relate to that, men and women, just kind of trying to do the best at your job. And of course, we know that there's a sensational ending to the story, but most of it is really how on earth did this happen? And it's the behind the scenes tale of the journalism, the women at Newsnight and the hardworking team at Newsnight.
The interview that changed everything, it saw Prince Andrew retire from royal duties, it damaged the royal family, and of course it did no justice to the victims of Jeffrey Epstein because of the way the questions were answered. Now, you were sitting in that room watching history being made, as it were. Did you feel that? Because I imagine you were also watching palace staff and Prince Andrew seemingly quite happy with everything. What was going through your mind, please, Sam?
Well, I was about 15 feet behind him and I could see the back of his head. And I must be honest with you, as a producer on such an auspicious occasion, the real challenge is showing no reaction, making no eye contact, trying to look at no one. And I have what I call a resting producer face. It's kind of like a poker face that is imperceptible for any human reaction. And obviously sitting there listening to that interview, it was really crucial that I didn't eye roll or laugh or do anything that would indicate any level of disrespect. So it was an extraordinary experience taking in those answers and for, you know, a very long period of time sitting there behind Prince Andrew listening to answer after answer that I just knew were going to be global news.
Do you believe Prince Andrew is delighted with the film, your film, as is being claimed? I think that was on Yahoo News internationally. Do you believe that?
Well, when it says friends of, we never know quite what that means. So I'm not sure until I hear it directly from Prince Andrew himself. I find that when it's briefing that is a friend of, we're never quite sure. So if he has watched it, I'm delighted that he found it enjoyable-ish. But we'll never probably know. But if I bump into him, I'll ask him.
Yeah, I don't imagine you've been in touch with him or the staff since.
I don't have his number. No. So I have not been in touch with him. You're absolutely right.
Beforehand, you're at Buckingham Palace meeting with the Duke, trying to secure the interview with him. And in Scoop, he asks you about the public perception of him. And you say, Randy Andy. And you in real life said that to his face?
Yes, yes, I did. I said that to his face. I'll tell you why. It sounds disrespectful. It sounds risky. Perhaps it even sounds rude. But the fact is, the reason I believe I was a good negotiator is that I spoke truth to power and I spoke truth to everyone. And, you know, if you're asked your honest opinion of someone, my honest opinion was I'd lived here for 40 something years at that stage. And all I really knew about him was Air Miles Andy and Randy Andy. Those were the nicknames that he had during that period. And that did not speak well to the accusations against him, which, to be clear, he still strenuously denies. So I did say that to his face because I gave an honest answer of how I thought the country and I perceived him.
Yeah, and he took it from you. He takes it from you in the movie.
He did.
There was an awful lot of legwork, and I won't ask you to go through it all, but with Amanda Thirsk, in particular, the Prince's private secretary, whom you persuaded to persuade Andrew to do the interview. What was your intention? Because, of course, there is the public's perception of the gotcha journalism. Did you want to hear a genuine kind of the genuine response from Prince Andrew? It wasn't that you set out to trap.
I just think there is no gotcha in this interview. I mean, it wasn't my intention with any interview that I was doing to have a gotcha moment. My intention was to let people tell their story. And sometimes that story goes well and sometimes it goes badly. It's our responsibility to bring people in the public domain to have the opportunity to speak. There is no gotcha in this, though. If you listen to the questions, they are methodical. Emily Maitlis, the presenter, is brilliant and thorough. But there's nothing disparaging, you know, there is nothing sensationalist, there is nothing ludicrous, and she keeps her tone throughout. What's gotcha are his answers.
Yes, he supplied the drama. The actual interview, of course, exists in, for people to make up their own minds, the real-life interview. Scoop doesn't actually deliver a verdict, does it? That's the thing.
That's the thing I think that's important about, you know, allowing people to draw their own conclusions. It's not our job to deliver a verdict. As you rightly said, he hasn't been convicted. Of course, there was civil litigation, which he settled for a reported £12 million with Virginia Giuffre, the most important person, obviously, in this tale. And the truth is, you know, people are entitled to draw their own conclusions. We don't say guilty or innocent because, in fact, we don't know the answer to that.
Over the years, has, out of interest, Sam, has anyone been able to establish that Prince Andrew was at the Pizza Express in Woking when he was accused of dancing in Tramp's nightclub with Virginia Giuffre?
It's funny enough you asked that. There was a period where I sort of looked into whether or not anybody had, because obviously once we'd done the interview, we'd done it, so we didn't have that information prior to check it out. But there was an article in the Daily Mail over here many years ago where they had tried to look into that, and it seemed to be somewhat inconclusive. But you're absolutely right. In the modern age, that would be, if untrue, infinitely disprovable or provable, because there would be logs and CCTV and social media and, you know, 100 people would have taken a picture. But it was a time before then, so we may never know.
Rufus Sewell, who played Andrew in Scoop, was asked why he thought the Prince agreed to the interview at all. And he said, quote, "I think he feels a genuine sense of victimhood and how not fair everything is, which is quite palpable. Also, a very, very limited imagination as to the humanity of other people. And he talked about Andrew having sympathy for himself. But do you agree with what he's generally saying, that Prince Andrew thought the interview could be a silver bullet to make people understand the real him?
No, absolutely. And, you know, to be fair, it could have been. It could have been. I know that seems kind of bizarre as a proposition now, but an interview is a platform for you to explain yourself. And had he come in and basically relentlessly apologized in 100 different ways, obviously not said that he was guilty, because that's not something he's ever said, but if he had shown remorse for the friendship and regret for the pain that had been caused to countless young women by Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, and if he had shown remorse for the pain that Virginia Giuffre was, you know, sharing, despite saying that he had never done it, it could have been a different end. It would have been a boring interview for us, but it could have been constructive for him.
All of which would have been in the public mind undercut, of course, by his staying in New York after Epstein's true nature was revealed. You know, I'm just looking at this through hard-nosed eyes. But you would think the palace would have looked at it through hard-nosed eyes as well and prepped him, as we say, you know, with likely questions from Emily Maitlis. I mean, you must have thought about this over the years.
Well, I mean, the questions were infinitely predictable in a sense. Obviously, he didn't know what they were going to be, but it was, you know, pretty obvious we were going to methodically go through the friendship. That's what they knew from the negotiation. We never pretended anything otherwise that we were going to ask, you know, a lot of questions about that friendship. That was the only focus of the interview. I don't know factually that he prepared, but I had heard from some other people I know that, you know, he spent 48 hours prepping. I wasn't in the room. But, you know, the fact is that obviously at the end of the interview, he thought it had gone well. So I think there was a very big space between his perception of what a good outcome was and what the general public or the world would think a good interview was. And that was really his danger zone.
Yes. And vis-a-vis the palace minders, if they knew in advance what he was going to answer to those questions that, as you say, were predictable, maybe a puzzling lack of appreciation of the effect that some of what he said would have.
Absolutely. And, you know, they may not have known the minutiae. I mean, in truth, Prince Andrew was at that stage a bit of a forgotten prince. You know, Buckingham Palace is a vast machine. And I was speaking about this the other day, and I was corrected by someone who used to work there, and rightly, when I said the palace. And that person said, no, it wasn't the palace. It was Prince Andrew's house, which is the term they use for the sections of the palace, according to the different members of the royal family. So his house was a tiny one, with Amanda Thurst, played by Keely Hawes, a brilliant, you know, pragmatic, clever woman who I dealt with, so professional, so full of integrity. But obviously, you know, you believe in your boss, and perhaps eyes were not on him. I mean, we'll never know for sure.
And Sam, it's all true for people who have seen Scoop, which is quite a few people listening so far, about Andrew's large stuffed toy collection, which must be arranged by a palace servant precisely on a bed. Kanga must be put next to Roo. That's all true, the details, or at least key details in the film.
That's all in the public domain, that he has a penchant for soft toys. So if you Google Prince Andrew and soft toys, I think there have been many images, you know, over the years and stories about his particular passion for soft toys. So, I'm, you know, I think that that one is definitely true.
The drama is Scoop. We're talking with Sam McAllister, who made it all possible. Sam, the excellent Keely Hawes in Scoop plays Amanda Thirsk. And you did a lot of work with her in advance before the interview was set up. The film casts her in a sympathetic sort of light, as a naive in a way. She, you know, she thought that it was a good idea for him. And I think she lost her job after it. In truth, though, it was only his fault, and probably his fault in the sense that people reacted badly to it, and his call, do you suspect, to do it rather than a more general decision by staff and palace?
I mean, my impression, and I'm very careful to just speak to fact, but, you know, my impression was that he was a bomb that was waiting to explode, and she was trying to manage the shrapnel. You know, her job was basically to do what he wanted to do and to make the best of it. And I have nothing but respect and time for Amanda, you know, a very bright woman who used to work in the city in finance. I think she went to Oxford or Cambridge. She was clearly extremely capable. But ultimately, when you're working for someone powerful like that, you have to believe in them. Otherwise, you wouldn't do the job. So she may have misunderstood his capabilities, but he was the one that made the fatal decision, you know, to do the interview, I expect. And he was the one who was fatal in terms of his answers. And of course, you're right. She lost her job like the second in command always does when something goes wrong.
Prince Andrew's PR manager, Jason Stein, in Scoop, leaves the job in horror when he correctly anticipates disaster. I mean, whether he left the palace just because of that is moot, I understand from all the discussion that's swirling around. But it's correct. I'm sure that he was opposed to the interview. He had something more genteel in mind with a friendly reporter. Was that his strategy?
I gather so, yes. You're absolutely right. Whether he left specifically for that reason is moot, but you can't blame him for giving the impression that that was the main reason, particularly as he works in comms. So certainly he did leave, and my understanding is that he thought it was a bad idea. And obviously the usual tactic is to try and find sympathetic people who will give you a couple of nice lines here and there. And that was what he generally had done in the past.
Scoop implies, at least to me, correct me if I'm wrong, that despite your excellent talents as a talent booker, finding talent, the top people in the news to talk to, and that didn't just include Prince Andrew, there have been many in your booking career, despite your abilities, your work was kind of looked down on by others in the Newsnight newsroom, not by your editor. She credited you with the whole Scoop in public. But even when the interview's in the can and speeding out of Buckingham Palace on a motorbike, no one's congratulating you. You're left to bask on your own in wonderment at the bizarreness of what's just taken place. How much of an outsider were you?
I like to think of myself as a maverick rather than an outsider. And I had, you know, a real visceral passion for my work. But factually, I was working part-time, bringing up my son on my own on a single income. And I used to be on the news desk where you would arrive at, you know, 9 a.m. and leave at midnight. It's a brutal job. And it's very hard to turn around one of the most important scoops in the history of UK journalism in 48 hours. So, you know, frankly, at that particular time, entirely understandable that no one had time to come and pat me on the head. It's a difficult job because it looks like all you do is go for lunches and make phone calls, which, of course, we allude to specifically in the film. In truth, it's a very hard job. You have to be very resilient. You have to ignore that people often think you're just having lunches and making phone calls. And you have to persuade some of the most powerful people in the world to take a massive risk. So I was hugely proud of the work that I did. And I used to say to myself, if I had a bad day in my head, excellence is its own reward. And that resilience, I think, was very helpful when there was a bad day. But most of the time, the team were wonderful, loads of brilliant, talented people. And I'm sure I could be a bit of a pain in the bum, to be frank.
This is a review in one of the Indian papers, Sam. The film shows that doing the right thing and making money aren't mutually exclusive. And that's a compliment to you and everybody else who made the film. And yet you must have soul-searched over aspects all the same, like Princess Beatrice being in the room at the same time. You must have squirmed a bit, just as a journalist and with consideration for all the people involved, not just Prince Andrew. Emotionally, it's interesting for you maybe, or for us to hear, and what it was like looking back for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you feel a responsibility towards the people who are depicted. And obviously lots of people who you'll never know the names of were spoken to in researching this project. The fact that Princess Beatrice was there was actually put into the public domain by the Daily Mail 2 weeks after this interview happened, although some people seem to think I put it there, but I really didn't. But in truth, I did feel a responsibility, of course. And so I can't go into the details, but, you know, people were given the opportunity to participate in different ways. And that's obviously a matter between us and them. But I think you have to basically do something that you feel sits well with you in terms of the implications it has for those people. And obviously, as you rightly say, my editor Esme, played by Romola Garay, looks like the absolute heroine that she was. Emily Maitlis, played by Gillian Anderson, looks like the absolute warrior and icon that she, you know, was at the time and obviously still is. Very famous here in the UK, the leading presenter really at that time. And, you know, I look like I was a scrappy underdog that you never would have heard of. if it hadn't been for that tweet and for this interview. And so, you know, you bear a responsibility towards all of those people, and I think they come out of it pretty well.
Well, the scrappy underdog has beaten the well-known newsreader Emily Maitlis to the punch here. I mean, we don't really know her in New Zealand, but I know she's a big presence on TV in the UK. Your doco is out and is being majorly discussed. Her version on Amazon isn't yet. And maybe there is room for both, as I've heard you say. But she did call yours a fictional account, a remark later clarified to mean it's a dramatisation, Sam.
Yes, that's right. Well, she corrected herself. And obviously, we say that ourselves. You know, if you read my original book, you have the factual source material. Some elements of the story have been dramatized so that you don't have to watch me doing 1,000 emails. But she absolutely corrected herself, and rightly so, because this is, you know, fact and fiction often go between the two worlds. And this is a dramatized version of a factual occurrence. So it's a... really, really exciting that Emily also has the opportunity to do a project like this. I wish her so the best, because this has been the most extraordinary experience of my life, an absolute privilege and really magical. So I hope she has the same experience.
How has this changed your life now?
It's changed my life in the sense that, you know, without, there's no pity committee here. Lots of people struggle, but I was struggling to, you know, sometimes get through the month in terms of bills and things. And I was working for 20 years, effectively, you know, going by public transport, on the bus, bringing up my son, all the things that ordinary people do. And this has given me opportunities to speak to people like you, you know, to be in New York with Gillian and Billy. And to, it has changed my life and for my son as well, who is still with me and whom I still look after on a single income. So hugely grateful for this incredible, magical ride.
Just a couple more things before we let you go. What effect do you think this will now have on Prince Andrew and the royal family, your film?
Well, I think there's nothing in here that they didn't know already, in the sense that we know he didn't interview, we know it didn't go well, and we know it was hugely important that he did an interview that was different from the one that he did. Of course, nobody really ever takes their eye off the royal family. They are a global obsession. So in a sense, what we do is we remind people of something that a lot of them knew already, but there is so much attention on them, obviously, as you know, all the time. So that is just part, sadly, of the job.
I know we've seen him more lately on important occasions. I don't know if you can call that rehabilitation. I know the royal family's short-staffed. But can you see rehabilitation in sight in the public mind? I know he hasn't been convicted in a court of law, but what do you think his status is now?
I think whatever the increments in terms of him appearing at family occasions, which happen to be public, of course, because he's a member of the royal family, I must be honest, I think that the great British public and the court of public opinion would not welcome him back into their court. And so I think if there were some huge stride to include him in a more formal way, I think there would be a lot of public anger, to be frank. So I think it would be unrealistic to think he can ever return to a complete and meaningful member of the royal family as he used to be before this scandal hit him.
And he really did think the interview had gone well. I think we know that he is supposed to have said that afterwards, but that was true.
His face was very beaming. Our faces were ashen. We all looked, you know, absolutely terrified because we knew the importance of what we had. And he seemed in a good mood and indeed took Emily, as is shown in the movie, on a tour of the palace. And the photographer who took those iconic pictures took them after that interview had happened. So do feel free to zoom on his face. And I think you'll see that he looks like a man who thinks he's done a good job.
Well, he provided the drama in the movie, and you provided the movie by succeeding in getting him to talk. So you went in with an open mind, and you thought Epstein is so much in the news again, and so, therefore, is Andrew, and it is time for him to speak. And you left the rest to posterity, really, and the result is what we see. Is that a correct assessment?
Well, absolutely. I started dealing with them 13 months prior to this interview happening, when things were quite different for him. So it changed over the time that I was there. But, you know, as we say in the movie, as Billy Piper says, you know, it's not up to me or to Amanda It's up to him to give the answers. We gave him the opportunity, a fair opportunity, a lengthy opportunity, and the answers were not up to scratch.
Very good to talk with you, Sam, and also in the midst of so many interviews you're doing, very good of you to give us your time.
My absolute pleasure.
Sam McAllister.